Welcome, Jeremy. I'm going to go ahead and go live now, and we should be there in just a second. So welcome to Community Conversations. I'm Mike Slayton. I'm the Executive Director of the Louisville Pride Foundation, and I'm joined today with by Jeremy McFarland from the Fairness Campaign, and just checking on things to make sure that we are, in fact, broadcasting. It's always fun to talk to yourself and watch yourself with multiple devices at the same time. You'd think we'd all have this figured out by now, right, Jeremy?
Yeah, well, I feel like I know less about it now than when I started.
Well, it looks like we have officially been live for like 30 seconds. So I never know when it starts. So we usually just sort of sit there and stare at each other awkwardly for the first few minutes of it. Well, thank you for joining me today, Jeremy.
Yeah, happy to be here. Thanks for inviting me.
So we're going to talk about a couple things today. We got an update on Louisville Pride and the Louisville Pride Festival. And then Jeremy and I are going to talk a little bit about the community response calls that Fairness and Louisville Pride have been coordinating for about 4 months now since all of this started. So first off, I want to start by saying that the Louisville Pride Foundation Board of Directors has made an official and final and unavoidable decision about the festival, which would be held September 19th. It's always the third Saturday in September, and we are not going to be having the festival. You know, the big shocking news here. When COVID started, when it hit Louisville in March, our board of directors suspended all in-person activity for the time being, and we knew at the outset that there was maybe a chance that it was going to impact the festival. And as the weeks and months went by, we realized that, you know, it's very unlikely we're going to be able to have the festival as we know it. We knew almost immediately, okay, we're not going to be bringing in a headlining act. You know, we can't be booking a headliner in April when we don't really know what's going to be going on. But we remained hopeful that we were going to be able to have some kind of in-person event, in-person activity for the festival up until really just a couple weeks ago. And then with this rise in cases and with us being about 2 months out, we realized that there's no way we can safely, responsibly plan an event to bring people together in person in September. So we're not gonna have the festival, but what we are gonna do is we're gonna organize a day of service, or it might end up being more like a week of service or something like that. We're still working out the details. But our community engagement committee is going to put together a service project a group of service projects on or around the time we would have normally had the festival. So that's going to be kind of our alternative festival, is a day of service where people can get together in small, safe groups and participate in giving back to their communities in socially distant ways. So we'll probably be, we were just talking to Dare to Care today about working with them and some other groups to put together multiple ways that we can give back. That's actually something our community engagement committee was working on at the beginning of the year, was doing service projects on maybe a monthly basis. And like so many plans for 2020, it got shelved with COVID. So we're going to be kind of bringing that back with a day of service in September instead of the festival. We're also going to be doing some sort of digital pride programming. We've been doing programming beginning in April, I think was when we originally started. We've done a couple of different varieties of it. Queens in Quarantine, we had the UAW drag show. So we're gonna be doing some kind of digital pride festival in September as well. But there'll be kind of that hands-on piece as well with the festival. Excuse me, with the day of service instead of the festival. So, you know, it's disappointing, but it's certainly not surprising with the new cases that have been going on. So I'm going to take a sip of water now. I was going to try and ask you a question about that, but really, you know, there's not a lot that you could probably chime in on that, is there?
No, probably not, but it is sad, but I think it's the right decision.
Yeah, and it's, you know, we'll see. It's difficult. We were talking about this earlier that, you know, this has been a difficult several months, and most of us expected things to be better, if not over, by now. And it's really challenging. It's really disheartening, disconcerting to be right back at the beginning, if, you know, if not worse than when we started, and not have this sense that, is this done in a month? Is it done in 2 months? You know, there's this kind of no real idea if how far into this we are. So somebody remember when all of this was starting said, how many minutes into the movie are we, you know, when everything was being canceled? And I feel like for a while we kind of knew, we had a sense of, okay, this is a 6 month thing. And now I think, you know, there's not that sense of that anymore.
Yeah.
Let me ask you this, Jeremy, how has it impacted you all over at Fairness?
Well, we haven't been back in the office since mid-March, and our summer has been totally different from what it normally would be. Normally, all summer would be prides every weekend, essentially, especially around June, of course. But really starting around late May, we would be every single week at a pride event around the state. And so that has been completely different. And of course, we had to cancel our big fundraising event at the end of March. We the people dinner that we do with the ACLU. So it kind of like other organizations, just kind of everything we had planned for 2020 ended up getting canceled, and we're still, you know, figuring it out. But I think that since we don't tend to organize a lot of our own events, we're participating in other events, probably a little differently than it would for, you know, I'm sure LPF, like organizing a festival and everything.
Yeah, I mean, we luckily, unlike a lot of other organizations and events, we, you know, when this started, we put the brakes on planning for the festival, still hopeful we would have it, but we hadn't really spent a lot of money. You know, we hadn't taken in a lot of money either. So it was sort of, everything's been kind of neutral with the festival, which is very fortunate for us, because for a lot of organizations, I mean, that depending on the timing, that could really be devastating if you've paid for everything and it can't be refunded. You know, we'll be reaching out to our vendors to deal with them, you know, give them a refund or roll them forward till next year. But, you know, when we had just opened vendor registration when all of this started, and everybody just kind of put things on hold. So luckily we don't have, you know, normally we'd be thinking about capping our registration right now. Probably we'd be at, you know, 100 to 150, you know, trying to figure out how many booths we could fit in. It's definitely not the problem we're having this year. We were looking at a couple of new features that we wanted to roll out this year. We had our wellness zone that we started last year, and we were going to start a college and career corner this year and an LGBTQ books and authors feature. Those were kind of in the early planning stages. And so hopefully we'll be seeing those in 2021 when we come back with, I don't know if we'll, I guess we'll, I guess it'll be the sixth festival, you know, it would have been the sixth one this year. So, you know, those features will be back. We've moved a lot of our programming online. The Wellness Wednesday series, we've got one of those tomorrow. We've done our queer game nights. That's become a trivia night. That's, you know, I don't know. There's only so many games you can do online.
Trivia night's very fun.
Yes, that's been very well received. You know, we had just started that over at Beachmont Community Center. We had the first one in end of February or early March. I think it was maybe the beginning of March. And I was there. There were about 35 people there for the first one, which I thought was a great turnout for a Monday night game night. I played Ticket to Ride, which I'd never played before. I've always heard of it. It was very fun. I think I won. I'm going to assume I won.
Right, naturally.
We played a couple other games. But, you know, it's hard to play Ticket to Ride online. I've played Settlers of Catan online with a couple friends of mine. That's very complicated with cameras and multiple boards. But so Trivia Night has been the online version of the game night, which will continue when we get in person again. But I do, you know, it's interesting. I think digital programming will be part of what we do. And I mean, we in the big sense, you know, permanently, because there's a lot of people that can engage with things when they're online that aren't able to come to things in person. Mm-hmm. So I think, you know, I'm looking forward to getting back to in-person programming, but digital programming, I think, will always still be part of it. But one of the other big things that we've worked on at Louisville Pride is, you know, we've done this digital pride piece, And then we've done what we've been calling our community response piece. And that's where you and I have worked together very closely. Jeremy has been like my quarantine buddy. You know, we have communicated far more since we were cut off from all other people than beforehand.
Yeah, definitely.
So we started back in March, at the time, weekly conference call with LGBT groups and social service groups just to kind of share information and resources. It was crazy. Nobody really knew what was going on. And a lot of people were kind of jumping up and trying to start things. And there were established people who needed help, just trying to kind of gather information and also sort of see if there were needs that the LGBTQ community had, as well as if there were ways that the LGBTQ community could help out. And so that's kind of how the COVID calls, the community response calls started. Do you want to add anything to that, Jeremy?
Yeah, I don't know. It was just, I think I sent out some like cold emails to pretty much any group I could think of. And Mike, I think you were the one who really responded at the beginning about wanting to do something. And I'm really grateful for that because I think it's been really helpful. You know, it's evolved in different ways than what we originally planned. I know originally we were had more ideas of directing people towards service, but I think we found a really good use for it in collaborating and just staying up to date with other organizations. I feel like it's been really helpful to just know what is out there for me personally, and I'm sure that there's been a lot of benefits for the individual groups being able to connect with other groups and just knowing, hey, we want to do this. What are you doing? And how can we work together on it? Yeah, I think it's been a really positive way to build some bridges in the community and, you know, just know what's happening.
Yeah. And so we started that and it, you know, and then things were stabilizing a little bit. And then we got into there were protests and uprisings and people beginning to come to terms with racism in our community and the longstanding issues there. I'm just trying to sort of make sure I can see if anybody asks any questions. We made those a broader focus. You know, it's been this ad hoc thing that we kind of been very much making up as we've gone along. So it's become a broader focus, and now we do them every 2 weeks. And we actually just had one a few minutes ago. And we were talking about this, and we're going to do kind of a relaunch. Do you want to talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, I think that's that was a really good idea that was suggested by our dear friend Daniel and volunteer at Louisville Pride Foundation, who is awesome. Hi, Daniel. I think it's a really good idea since, you know, at the beginning we were doing just centered around COVID-19, but, you know, once the protests started, you know, the realization that we could use this, you know, this group that we've created and this network we've created for a lot of different situations, even beyond COVID-19, if we can, enduring, you know, not just imagining a world when COVID-19 is under control, but also, you know, as we, you know, I think a lot of people kind of realized in June, you know, it's a lot of things can be happening at the same time. And yeah, I think it's a really great idea, and I'm excited to see us like fully embrace and relaunch with a more broad mission, and hopefully that can more broadly, you know, positively impact organizations and individuals.
And that's something that'll be coming out from both Fairness and Louisville Pride here in the next week or so. Just a little bit more information about it. It's, you know, it's been a conference call between a lot of different groups. And there's been, and you know, the members, the people on the call are never the same each time. There's probably about 30 different organizations that have been involved and kind of come in and out depending on availability. And there's usually about 10 or so people on there. And it, you know, it didn't come out of any sort of formal thing. It was kind of us thinking of, okay, who do we need to invite? And then asking those people who we needed to invite. So we're kind of taking the time to make it a little more public now. So any organizations that want to be a part of this, reach out to us, and we'll include you on that. And it's, you know, LGBT groups like Fairness or LPF or the Derby City Sisters, employee groups. We've had representation from like the employee groups at Yum. I know for sure, I don't think there's been a couple others on there, and if I try to list them all, I will miss them. So kind of the LGBT groups that can provide volunteers, that can provide resources, but also social service agencies that are providing help and need help from volunteers. Dare to Care has been a big participant, and Highlands Community Ministry has been there, and representing the 13 community ministries in the community. Let me get the word community into that sentence a few more times. And it was actually, that was kind of the impulse to start this community conversation series, was talking to people at Dare to Care and community ministries about how people can get help, and then getting that word out as much as we can. And that's one of the things we want to talk about today also, is that there is still help available for people who are impacted by COVID. You know, the crisis has not gone away. A lot of people, with bars closing back down, people were getting their breath, and now it's been taken away from them. The national moratorium on evictions is expiring. The fate of the extra $600 for people on unemployment, I think, is still uncertain. That may have changed today. Do you want to talk a little bit about some of the resources that are still available out there?
Yeah, well, you mentioned the community ministries, and they still have funds available for rent, I believe. And let me pull up my notes really quick, just so that I don't misattribute anyone.
Right.
So community ministries is also offering, they're helping with utility assistance through local ministries, and monetary assistance. And then I know that Center for Accessible Living, they also have some funding assistance still available. And so there are still resources, but especially for the housing assistance, a lot of that will likely go quickly once the evictions are allowed again. So it's good if you are in need of that to go ahead and be reaching out and make those connections and start working with that towards that.
Especially since the moratorium has not been, there has not been a moratorium on rent, people are accruing these debts, and there are definitely folks out there calling for there to be debt mm-hmm. cancellation and a moratorium on debt. But as of yet, that has not happened. So you just have, a back rent that's due. But there are, community ministries can also help people get access to other forms of aid, even if they don't mm-hmm. offer it. The city has Neighborhood Place, which is a program that the city runs that has assistance for people, as well as LIHEAP, which is the heating, air conditioning, the electric utility bill assistance. All these resources are out there. We've got a lot of them on our website at Louisville Pride. We have a COVID-19 resource page with information about this. And the One Louisville Fund has raised a lot of money and continues to raise money. So, this was not like a one-time thing where people were kind of putting these resources out there. Mm-hmm. And as you mentioned, the Center for Accessible Living has money, particularly for people with disabilities who've been impacted by COVID. Mm-hmm. That's a resource out there. So we try to get this information out on our website. We put it on there. We also have we'll send out an email usually about once a week or once every 2 weeks with these updates. But there's a lot of access out there. One of the things, of course, with COVID is people have been impacted who have not needed to seek assistance before. And so they don't necessarily know how to. They don't necessarily know where what the options are. But do you think there's been some benefit to these conference calls other than that?
Yeah, I think definitely. I feel like the calls have been really helpful for me personally, just to know what is available and what's going on in the community. I feel like I have a much better grasp of, who's who and who works at what organizations and what they're doing there and what those organizations are doing. But I think more broadly, it's beneficial for the organizations to be building those connections. And I think what's also really special is that I know we talked about the LGBTQ nonprofits that are involved, and ERGs and service organizations, but we've also had, you know, organizations that aren't 501c3s or, you know, are more less formally organized. And that's been really nice, I think, to build those connections. And I think that there's a, I think Mike, you said it today about, you know, connecting the groups that need resources with the groups that have resources. And I think that we've seen that happen a lot in those calls. And so I hope that we can get, you know, even more people involved on, you know, all sides of that spectrum. And yeah, I'm really excited to see where it continues to go, but I think that there's been a lot of benefit to just building those relationships.
Absolutely, yeah. A couple of the participants 2 weeks ago that I've appreciated kind of hearing about and learning about are independence seekers, which is a disability activist group, a disability rights group, advocacy. That's the word I'm looking for. And that's, they've just recently become, fiscally sponsored by the Fairness Campaign for several years, I think, and have just now officially become their own 501c3. So that's very big news for them. And they've been doing a lot of work. Obviously people with disabilities are impacted by COVID, and almost any situation is going to affect people with an existing condition even more so. And also Tiger's Eye Collective, which is a queer security collective that has recently being organized in Louisville. That's a really interesting project to hear about. Are there other projects that you've or groups that you've learned about through this that you think have been particularly interesting?
Those two for me have been really interesting. I mean, of course, I know about Independent Seekers Project since the relationship of Fairness, and they've been doing awesome work for a long time around Louisville. But also, yeah, learning about Tiger's Eye. But I think for me, being new to Louisville, it's been really helpful and interesting. You know, we've had, Metro Louisville representatives for different departments involved at some points, and learning more about the city's role in the city's actions, especially at the beginning of regarding COVID-19, was really interesting. And also just learning more about the social service organizations around. It's all been really interesting for me, just as like a new person in town, to learn more about the city and what's around in the city.
It's an interesting problem, because there's like this embarrassment of riches where you have a lot of great organizations, a lot of great people doing great work, but other people have no idea that they exist or that they even really know what exactly they do. And that's one of the things Dare to Care was talking about, is people don't necessarily understand really what their role is in the community. They know the name, they know the organization, but kind of really finding out, you know, what these organizations do in their day-to-day work and how people can get plugged into that has been pretty interesting. Mm-hmm. And this has been a process that we kind of, like the community conversations, we continue to sort of tinker with it and change it as we go to try to meet the needs of the time. And so we're sort of relaunching the community response calls. The next one will be August 11th at 4 p.m. They're every other Tuesday. And we're going to be sending out information about those. And if anybody's interested in finding out more, contact us. You can contact me at mike@louisvillepride.com or jeremy@fairness.org. And we will get you on the invitation list for those. And we also send out minutes afterwards. And I think a lot of people aren't able to get on the calls very often, but appreciate seeing the updates in the minutes that go out there. So it's been a helpful way to connect different organizations in this time of crisis. And we definitely see it as being something that's going to continue after as things go back to normal, so that the next time there's a crisis, we've got more of a network established where people know each other, they know how they can help. I think that's everything I wanted to go over today. It's been a little bit of a different episode here, but the big takeaways are that the Louisville Pride Festival will not be held as previously scheduled in September. We'll be doing digital pride, and we'll be doing a day of service instead. And the community response calls continue. We're going to be sort of relaunching those and inviting more people and trying to get the word out about needs around COVID and also resources around COVID, as well as any other issues going on that people, there are resources available for people. So if you are facing eviction, there are resources available for rent assistance and things like that. You just have to reach out and ask people for help. And even if you, you know, if you contact community ministries and they're not able to help you with your specific issue, they'll be able to direct you probably to someone who can. And for LGBTQ people, community ministries are welcoming and I don't want to overstate it. I don't know if I can say that they're all affirming, but they're all welcoming and they're not going to turn anybody away from assistance based on sexual orientation or gender identity or really any other issue as long as the person qualifies, which really just means living in the area they serve. And if you're not in the right area, they'll send you to the other ministry. So Jeremy, any words of wisdom you want to close us out with?
No, wear a mask, wash your hands.
Right. And what? And I will admit, my 20 seconds has been getting shorter and shorter and shorter.
I've noticed that for me too. But I'm back up to my 20 seconds.
Yes, I'm back to my like 3 second hand washing. Like, oh wait, we're still in the middle of a pandemic.
Yeah.
So, and I noticed a couple people who are like, well, you know, it's okay. I wash my hands. It's like, you know, it makes you safer, but it doesn't make you totally safe. Right. There's not like, you know, wearing a mask is not magic. You know, it's just, you got to be safe. But thank you everybody for joining us today. And we'll be coming out with more information about the day of service as we kind of make those plans. And if you're interested in helping with that or any of the other work we do, please get us, let me know and we'll get you plugged in on one of our committees. And if you don't want to volunteer with us, you should volunteer with Fairness. They're an excellent organization as well. Or one of the other fine organizations in our community. So thank you, everybody, and good night.
Thanks.